Yeah. Okay, I'll say about Ricky.
Me too.
He's a cool guy with St. Francis.
That's fine. Well, that's cool with me. Well, who cares? I don't
see. That would actually be a really good. Oh, you can hear it now.
What do you want me to talk about?
It's kind of echoing though. No, it's probably reverberating or whatever.
You know what? Corey Darby, DJ Sugar Daddy.
Yeah, that's that would good. Be hilarious. Yeah.
I feel pretty and witty and gay, and I pity any girl who's in me today. I feel charming, oh so charming, it's alarming how charming I feel, and so pretty, and I hardly can believe I'm real. See the pretty girl in that mirror there, who can that attractive girl be? Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me. I feel stunning and entrancing, feel like running and dancing for joy, for a song by your pretty wonderful voice. Have you met my good friend Maria, the craziest girl on the block? You see her, she's the one who is in an advanced state of shock. She thinks she's in love, she thinks she's insane.
La la la.
She isn't in love, she's merely insane.
It must be the heat,
or some rare disease.
La la la. Or too much to eat,
or maybe it's fleas.
Keep away from her, therefore she knows this is not the Maria we know. Modest and pure, polite and refined, well-bred and mature, and out of her mind.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty, that the city should give me its key. A committee should be organized to honor me.
La 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 la.
I feel dizzy, I feel funny, I feel pretty and funny and fine, and so pretty, if America can just resign.
La 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 la.
See the pretty girl in that mirror.
What mirror? Where?
Look at that attractive baby.
Which? What?
Where? Who? Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me.
Such a pretty me.
I feel stunning.
I feel stunning.
And entrancing.
And entrancing.
Like running.
Like running.
And joy.
For I'm loved by a pretty, wonderful
Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I am your host, DJ Pornopticon. And with me in the studio tonight, I have two fabulous, fabulous undergrads from the Carnegie Mellon University campus. And these gentlemen will be talking about their extremely powerfully arousing and sensual lifestyle. So I would like all of our listeners to welcome Andrew and Tom to the studio. Andrew and Tom, say hello.
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 And also with me in the studio tonight is my flawlessly beautiful co-hosts, Juan Pablo.
Hello.
And Lance.
And the flawed co-host, Lance.
The flawed.
That one in the corner.
So Lance, you have been described as Ed Asner after a failed sex change operation. Is that right?
Yeah, true, but you don't have to mention it every single time.
Who's Ed Asner? No.
Do you actually not know who Ed Asner is?
I have no idea.
Have you ever seen the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Yeah, Lou.
He's Lou.
Oh, okay.
Well, Luke,
I'm more like Barry.
So, let's go back to the beginning.
That was 30 seconds ago.
Before I lost my virginity or after?
Well, let's start there. So, when did you lose your virginity, and what were the circumstances?
19 in England, my best friend at the time.
Really? You were on some sort of, these sort of college foreign trips that they take? Or
dance competition.
Really? What kind of competition? Dance?
Ballroom. Ballroom dance.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And so, paint us a vivid word picture, if you will. What was that movie that was all about ballroom dancing?
Strictly Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom.
Interesting. Were you in that?
No.
Okay, wrote the script.
Yeah.
I want a vivid picture.
Okay, so there you are. So you go to England for this fabulous ballroom dancing competition. Mm-hmm.
You're excited because it's a competition and you're away from, you're in another country. Mm-hmm. Right?
And you have to make a choice between the woman who's a really good dancer and the one who's a really close friend who you've gotten to this level with.
The problem is Andrew is the one who's the really good woman dancer.
Yeah. No, actually, he was one of my really good friends. And we were living in the same little dorm area together. And they actually had like a male-male dance competition at one point.
Oh, really?
And so we all got up in like the whole like get up. And I did the women's part and had one of my dance coaches dress on and all that stuff. And of course we won. Hello. And so that night I got a little bit tipsy and stuff like that. Of course he was engaged for 2 years to some guy.
To
a good guy. Yeah, but I guess that didn't matter that much to him. So.
Well, some people have. Some people, including people who are in this room whose names I will not mention,
okay,
are well known to have open engagements.
Not this one. But so then, like, after the competition, we all went to London for a week, and we all stayed at some person's house, and while...
Well, wait, first, was there a long history of brooding, simmering sexual tension between you two?
It was there.
So had you come close to the brink before tippling over into the abyss of infidelity?
It was just a really close friendship. Because he was from New York,
Okay.
So I didn't see him much. But then,
So you were an undergrad here.
Oh yeah.
And he was actually somewhere else.
NYU. Right?
Oh, okay.
So he had all, if I understand this correctly, he had also tasted the carnal sins of man love, whereas you were new to that whole world.
That would be correct.
Interesting. And so,
were you new in practice or in theory as well?
In some senses, practice. Some senses, theory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
I don't.
Well, my question was.
I was still a virgin.
But you'd had inklings that you.
I'd done everything but had sex. I mean, like full intercourse.
Right, but it wasn't like you thought you were straight up to that point, and then a night of torrential dam-breaking passion.
No.
Like tore away the sham of a sexual identity you constructed.
No,
right. Okay.
Well, I knew it was good.
It is too bad we find that more appealing, right?
Okay, hold on, let me reconstruct it. Yeah, I was a straight football jock.
Andrew was a construction worker.
Yeah, I was a construction worker. And one day, I was just sitting there in the locker room, and he came up to me and started putting his hand on my thigh, and it just went from there.
Gentlemen, the show is about the truth.
So I would actually just like to interrupt you for a second. If any of our listeners are powerfully interested in this story and would like to contribute, please call us. If you're on campus, just dial the 5 simple numbers, 8. WRCT. That's 89728. If you're off campus, 621-9728.
Oh, God.
Why, do you have some sort of phone phobia? Or are you expecting specific people to call?
No.
Okay. I think there's actually a phone in the locker room itself. So
there you go.
So, but once this initial sort of milestone was reached, right, mm-hmm. then you blossomed once back at Carnegie Mellon, I take it?
Oh, yes. You can call it that. I was pretty much a big old whore for a couple months, and then I've gotten to a relationship for a year and a half, which was very wonderful, but it's over, so, oh God.
No, trust me, it's probably one of our regular prank callers.
Oh goodness, anyway, so, no, it's back to the drawing board. I'm single.
So are you single and looking? I mean, could we set you up with your next relationship right now?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, if you're out there lonely, need a man, we've got two.
And you like the cut of Andrew's jib.
Tom's really hot, too.
We haven't actually even gotten to the whole Tom sexual thing.
Yeah,
true.
And that's a story in itself, let me tell you.
So this is a story. This is a question I've always wanted to ask somebody. Like, I want to ask this to both of you. Like,
okay.
What is it like to be, like, young, hot, available, and like the apple of every man's eye?
Well, Tom, you go first.
I think it would probably be better for you to go first on that one.
I mean, really, you could probably...
Okay, really.
No, okay, we'll
Twist
pick.
Twist his arm, he'll say anything.
We'll pick. Tom, you go first.
Yeah, Tom needs to talk.
I think it's really hard to really be able to address yourself as, first of all, the apple of anybody's eye. I think my experience is a lot more boring than someone like Andrew's. I don't think I have nearly as much fun, but I guess it just feels kind of good.
No, we can both hold our own. Demand attention a lot more, and I monopolize conversations like this one a lot more, but Todd can hold his own. We do well when we go out.
We bounce well off of each other.
Yeah.
Literally.
Kind of like Pat Tinetti. Ever watch that, Bab? Yeah.
So, but I mean, let's say you're not in a traditionally gay context. Let's say you're at like a Walmart and
okay.
Oh, we have a phone call. Excuse me, my whole Walmart scenario will have to be suppressed for just a moment. Hello, is the caller on the air?
Hi. I have a question for the guest on the show tonight.
Excellent. Please go ahead.
I was just wondering if you were a top or bottom before your experience, and if that's changed any since you've come out.
Okay.
Oh, good question.
Well, so I think we should actually clarify for some of our less technically oriented listeners what these terms mean. Presumably, you're referring to... this is actually an important point because a lot of heterosexual people think that, like, what homosexuals do is an exact analog to straight intercourse. For example, one is always the woman and one is always the man. So you have to, like, pretend to be, like, the vagina or the penis in this role.
Right.
And I think many gay men actually... Those boundaries are so fuzzy. Many people are versatile, for example. But I would just have, after my little preamble's over, I'll let you guys continue.
Okay, so how much dirty laundry are we going to actually give?
Well, all of it, I think.
Okay, because we've got stories. But, Tom, go ahead.
Well, my first experience, the first time I had sex, the first time I had intercourse, I was bottom.
Okay.
My very first experience. And I learned right away that I didn't like it whatsoever. And... Being a bottom is one of those things where it's expected that it isn't the greatest the first couple of times, but the more you get into it, the more enjoyable it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to that point, ever in my experience. So whereas there are plenty of versatile people out there, I'm pretty much strictly a top.
Gotcha.
Right.
So I have to interject here as a straight guy, right?
You're straight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. News. Okay.
But I would imagine that there'd be, by necessity, some sort of reciprocity, right?
That big word. Come on, I'm HNSS. Bring it down.
I'm sorry, what?
Reciprocity, what's that mean?
Right, so it'd be hard to engage
you
in
wash my
mind.
Back, I'll wash you off.
Oh!
Yeah, so to speak.
Okay.
in a literal sense.
That it would be hard to maintain a relationship where one man was doing all the pitching and one man was doing
some
all the
people
pitching.
Like that.
Not necessarily. I was in a relationship for... almost a year that just ended this past March, that where I was strictly the top and he was strictly the bottom the entire time.
But that requires sort of an aligning of sort of interests, right?
Right, and it also makes it hard sometimes to meet people because you can meet someone and
you don't know what they are.
You get to the point when you're in the bedroom and all of a sudden you realize there's a clash, and there's no real effective way of coming to a resolution for that.
Hmm.
For instance, we know these people. People.
For the sake of argument.
Yes. They,
perhaps they live in another city.
Yeah, they do. They do.
But they look surprisingly like us.
Yeah, but not really. So they met this person and took them home as good friends and things escalated to a threesome, and one guy at one point was thought of as a bottom, and then all of a sudden...
That would be me.
I was talking about the other guy. But then all of a sudden he's like, guys, I'm a top, which we all, like, totally, completely, like, started busting out laughing because he totally didn't act like one and his penis was really small. So we don't know, like, why he was a top.
Wait, how do you act like a top? What's the giveaway?
Well,
you have
pretty...
a big penis.
I think that there's a kind of a misconception that the tops are generally the more butch, the more masculine,
so
the more
guy. So you think there's an analog
people.
Between the sort of the sexual dominance and the like dominance expressed
exactly.
in their personality.
Exactly, and there's a lot of, you know, younger, twinkish kind of boyish queens are the bottoms.
It's usually the opposite.
Right, exactly, and that's the interesting thing.
You find some big construction worker guy with like some hard hat on, is like the biggest submissive bottom.
Screaming bottom.
Oh my gosh.
It's interesting. I mean, the guy that I was with last year was as close to a heterosexual man as a gay man will ever be. He was more heterosexual than most straight men I knew.
Closer than DJ Panopticon?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact.
As he, like, shuffles his tutu.
But, and so people, when they found out, thought it was really interesting that we each played the roles we played because it didn't seem like that from the outside.
I dated
at all.
A straight guy once. He made us watch ESPN when we had sex.
Wait, how did he have sex with you if he was straight?
Well... He had a girlfriend and everything, but...
Was he just confused?
But being a bottom doesn't require any real...
Yeah.
Talent?
Some people
right.
just like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question.
Well, Andrew, we never covered
that. Andrew's avoiding the question. Andrew's not exactly sure.
Oh, okay.
By the way, listener, what's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Make up
listener, you're not obliged to give us your real name.
Oh, okay, I'll say my name is Nikki.
Okay,
hey, Nikki.
Hey.
Okay. What were you talking? Oh, sexual.
What are you, top or bottom?
I'm versatile. It depends. What did you think I was?
Oh, I don't know.
Obviously, you've given it thought.
The world's biggest bottom.
I don't have. I do not have the world's biggest bottom. Very nice, thank you. See, I think that's the thing. When people look at people like Andrew and people like me, they'll make an assumption that we're bottoms. And I can understand that assumption because a lot of people who are like us are bottoms.
Right.
But it's so not the case with me.
It's not the case.
I'm definitely, I top more than I do bottom. I'm very aggressive, aren't I?
Andrew's very aggressive.
Yeah. And you wouldn't think so. I mean, just by looking at me.
Did you sort of understand this about yourselves before your actual sexual awakening?
It was never really for me a question because I never thought about it. You know,
experience I did bottom though.
Okay.
But I mean, I like it. I don't have any problems with it. But
is that a near universal experience to have your first experience be as a bottom?
I don't think so because if you think about it, the guy that I lost my virginity to was losing his virginity at the same time. So
mine wasn't.
Right.
He was engaged.
Yeah. So, but no, yeah, I'm definitely first time. It depends on the other person, and it depends on their interests and their body type. I tend to I'll bottom for a more masculine guy and you know.
So we've been brainwashed over time that gay sex was not all the time penetration, right, DJ, whatever you're today?
Well, DJ Panopticon.
This is the politically correct notion I've been trying to espouse in the show that indeed, you know, the gay sexual expression is a continuum, and there's numerous different things that you can do. I mean,
how far does this go? Can it be expressed through finger painting?
Well, so long as
it depends on where your fingers are going,
right? What you're painting with.
Yeah. I mean, really, in Pittsburgh, there's a big hang-up. I found out really fast within the gay community. Like all of a sudden, I had this huge horrible reputation that I was having sex with everyone. I found out in Pittsburgh that sex means like anything beyond kissing. Mm-hmm. Where I come from, it doesn't mean that at all.
But see, I think that's also, I don't think that's necessarily a geographic issue. I think that's that's more of an individual issue. I mean, you don't find it as much, I don't think, among straight people, but I will say that I've had sex with somebody, even if I haven't gone as far as having intercourse. If I've done everything but have intercourse, I'll still say that I've had sex.
No, I can't.
Because that also includes oral sex, which is a form of sex.
No. Well, not legally, as the monocle.
This is not the intercourse that is mentioned in the Constitution, right?
I don't think it is.
No.
It depends on the Constitution we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Constitution for, like, seeing you out.
Right. I'm confused about where you draw the line. So, like, if you kiss and hug and have frottage with someone, that's not
frottage.
Frottage.
What does that mean? I'm not French.
I think I had that for dinner tonight.
Yeah, really. So they sort that
as a great Merlot. It was really nice.
What is frottage, DJ?
Isn't this word that means rubbing?
DJ, Panopticon, you forget that you see all, and the rest of us don't always have that perspective.
What can I say on
not everyone is
dry?
Not dry.
Dry.
Fully clothed.
What, dry humping?
Is that yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you say that word in the air?
Hump?
I guess we can. Well, camels have them.
Dry humping.
So, like, when does it become sex? I'm gonna give you more and more. Just say yes. Just stop me when it has become
sex. Go ahead.
Sex. Okay. Kissing, you know, fondling, biting the nipples, tongue in the air, rimming.
Wait, what did you just say?
Tongue in the air.
Rimming.
Okay, go ahead.
Rimming, like Martin Rim.
it's not a basketball experience.
No, or as the Star Report once put it, oral anal contact.
There you go.
So which, by the fact, if someone does that to you on a first date, don't date them again.
Why?
Does it show an adventurousness, right?
Very trusting nature.
Okay, so is that worse than just...
Or big ol' hole. You know, really.
You don't know what you're coming in contact with.
Literally.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you've seen them at their worst, right?
I think that I would categorize it as sex if the evening ended up... If in the end, both parties were naked and it had an orgasm. I consider that sex.
Okay.
Even if they were naked in separate places and were masturbating.
Well, I mean, if it's two people in different rooms across campus looking at dirty magazines, I'm not going to count
clearly,
that as sex.
It's a fuzzy boundary.
Right.
Yeah, the best we can do is to give weak guidelines.
Exactly.
And it's also an individual thing.
Right.
Like, I don't call it sex.
So what is rimming?
What is rimming? Well, it's
do you really not know, or are you just trying to get
it? I really don't know.
I really don't know.
We can't ask that question because we have a phone call.
Oh, so I tried to call.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, my name is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
This is to both of you. I was wondering if you had any, like, first date, like, regulations that you follow. Like, if there are certain, like, policies that you have that you, or certain questions that you ask on first dates.
Oh, so this brings up an interesting point, sort of a first date protocol, how you behave on a first date, what you want to know.
I'd just like to interject before you guys answer. I mean, my first date, my policy on the first date is I ask them whether they're involved with law enforcement or the government.
I thought it was no rimming.
Right, that's the one. I wear a shirt that says that generally on most dates. I had a t-shirt made at the mall.
Okay. I have an arrow on my shirt that actually points to my... So, I'm sorry, you have...
I'll go ahead and take this one.
Why doesn't Andrew field this one first?
Okay. A first date, it depends on the guy.
Right.
It really does. It depends on how much you've talked to him before, how much time, like a date, if you like go out to see a movie or whatever, I mean, that might not be like how much time you've spent with them. You could be really good friends with them. I wouldn't suggest like picking someone up off the street and calling that a date and like doing whatever unless you're... unless that's what you're aiming to do. But as a rule, I don't think I would have intercourse on the first date unless it was like something like absolutely amazing, like a surefire thing. Not to say that some people don't. It's fine if you do. But
are you just worried about sending the wrong message?
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line with, like, sometimes you can be physical with someone and they can get the wrong message.
Right.
But
well, you mentioned earlier that you had a reputation for being a complete...
Or. Used to.
Do you think this is your way of
Andrew's in the process of trying to shed
your way out
that.
Of that
whole,
yeah,
that
I shed image. It once, and then I went on the rebound for a while, but now everything's, you know, back on track.
When you say whore, you really mean slut, right?
Right.
Yeah, cheap, big old whore. Like, like, booty call on redial, like, you know.
Wow.
But no, I really think it depends on the person. If you really have a connection with that person, then... You know, being physical isn't—it's a shared closeness.
Well, what about this though? I mean, maybe you being sort of, you know, powerfully attractive and so on, you don't have this problem. But what if you really feel like you've managed to capture some really hot guy and you want to have sex with him before he gets away? That would be a legit reason just to have sex right away and get.
Because
that might be your only chance.
If that's your, I can't answer that.
So I guess maybe it's better for me to answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
That sounded worse than I wanted to, but I think, see, the thing for me, if, you know, if I find somebody attractive, I'm very shy when it comes to sex. I get very nervous. And
I disagree.
It depends on if I'm in a sober state and I'm feeling, you know, totally normal, I'm very shy. I never make an initial move. Mm. I always wait till a move is made on me. And generally, if somebody makes a move on me, I feel the urge or the desire to reciprocate. So it usually works out pretty well.
I don't think anybody makes a move on you.
Not anybody.
No. But if the person that you're with doesn't like object to it, or if you can feel the connection there,
right.
Or the horniness, whatever you want to call it, you know, if you're both willing to go with it, why not?
Right.
Caller, is that sort of what you were looking for?
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thanks both of the callers for calling. I don't know if the first caller is still on the air or not, but thank you both for calling it. And if anyone else has any interesting comments or suggestions or questions to ask, please do call in. The number is 621-9728, and on campus, that's 8-WRCT.
What is rimming?
Do we have a whiteboard and some markers? We should probably.
You know, first of all, whatever explanation we give has to be clear to our listeners.
Okay, I guess, you know, I'll be brave and go ahead and give it a try.
What? The definition, I hope.
So, DJ Pablo, I'm a little bit surprised because you are coming from the country of love. I would think that you had experienced all kinds of sexual...
Are you
gay?
No.
Well...
We didn't use such, well, you know, of course it's all ambiguous, one never knows, but...
It just depends on how many, like, drinks you have.
I've tried really hard to feel this, like, you know, some gayness in me, but it hasn't come up yet. I'm sure it will eventually, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's true. So,
how exactly have you tried?
Well, for a while I was concerned that my lack of impulses in that direction were a sure sign that I was gay and I was repressing it.
That's true.
Mm. So
that's a Gordian knot.
Yeah, it's very difficult to deal with that.
I'm really getting lost in this conversation.
Okay.
Reciprocity.
So, yeah. back to Remming.
Remming?
It's just very simple. We need not make a big deal
out
of it.
It's nothing. It's... Rimming is...
You're just inciting me, playing. You're playing with me.
Rimming is the Lord's gift to the gay man.
That's right.
The Lord's gift of pleasure.
It's pretty fabulous.
As long as you shower first.
Right, as long as you're a very clean person.
Oh.
Rimming, a definition of rimming. Rimming, I guess, is anal stimulation with your tongue. Not your own tongue,
okay.
I might say, unless you... are very double-jointed and have that mobility.
I mean, all kinds of, you know, I work on all my straight friends that I get them to admit all kinds of things, and all my straight friends have, like, licked their girlfriends' like anuses. I mean, it happens all the time. Excuse me. This is not, like...
No, it's
the
gay man's
secret shame. Like, everybody licks everybody else's anus. It just happens.
God. I can't handle it.
Except for Andrew. Andrew's an angel.
I am.
Andrew the whore.
All right.
Yeah. The what?
Well, I meant to say H.O.
I know. I didn't think about like that.
And that's what rimming is.
So, why don't we shift gears a little bit and talk about what sort of milieu CMU is?
What sort of
environment?
Oh. For...
I'm just trying to speak
it's
in French.
It's another French word, like potage.
I don't
yeah.
understand French.
So, what sort of... Is it a... universities have the reputation for being relatively enlightened... Tolerant environments, right? Do you find that to be the
CMU is very liberal.
Really?
Very.
I think it's almost like a gay mecca.
Yeah, really. It's like...
Right. I mean, I remember going through the application process, I was told by certain people, you have two options, Oberlin or CMU.
Yeah.
You know, it has a reputation for being a gay,
there's a sort of pink haze around.
Really? Well, that applies sort of... But I mean, in this area, right? I mean, because... Clearly, right, there are meccas in New York and
right.
San Francisco, right?
Well, yeah.
Is this in the, like, Cleveland, Pittsburgh sort of...
Pittsburgh has a very... high gay population.
Really?
It's huge. You wouldn't even think about it. Even if you go to the clubs and stuff, that's maybe 40% of the gay population.
What's maybe 40% of the population?
Like the club scene, things like that.
Oh, you're saying there's a lot more beyond that.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
DJ Panopticon, you see all. Is this true?
Well, this is why I find like our young guests very interesting, because I have quite the opposite impression about Pittsburgh. I mean, where are all these like gay people here at the CMU campus? I mean, I've been here for 8 years and oh, we got a phone call. I don't have to go down that road.
You don't have to show your pathetic self yet again.
Don't worry, we'll get back to your pathetic self.
Yeah. So is the caller on the air?
Yes.
Welcome, and thank you so much for calling.
Hi, thanks. I'm a young lesbian girl, and I really like this older girl, but I'm afraid that she'll take advantage of me. And I was wondering if I could ask... if you've ever had a relationship with, like, a younger guy, and if I should have these insecurities about that.
So you're concerned about some sort of power imbalance in the relationship because this woman you like is older and thus might manipulate you?
I don't get those vibes from her, but I'm still a little frightened because I have friends who have said that I shouldn't trust her, you know, and I was wondering if the guest has ever had a relationship with, like, a younger guy, and if that's, like, trustworthy, you know?
Well, how much older is she?
She's 22.
And you are?
17.
Oh, I've been there.
Right. That's an interesting age combination.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Do you think it's safe?
Well, initially, my first question is that legal? 17 to 22? I'm not sure.
It's 16, right?
Pennsylvania,
well,
it is.
Age of consent, yeah, but that's a 5-year difference, I think. I'm not sure what the legality of that is, just as a side note, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really that worried about that. It's just, I mean, more...
No, I think it's up to you to portray an air of confidence. Like, you don't want to go in and, if you're any way scared about it, I wouldn't let her know in any way, shape, or form.
But I think a more important issue to address before that is even, you know, even if... You know, because, I mean, I can say that when I was 17, I was mature for my age. But no matter how mature you are, no matter how mature of a 17-year-old, there's a big difference between 22 and 17. Mm-hmm. It's not just 5 years. There's a big, you know, spectrum of things that happen between that you know, in that time lapse.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know, like, would you ever be with somebody that young, or do you think that anyone who's doing that is definitely, like, trying to use the younger person?
Well, I think...
This really has to be a case-by-case basis.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it depends on... there are people that just want to younger people because they're easy to manipulate, but there are people that meet people that honestly interest and fascinate and attract them, and it just so happens that they're a couple of years younger.
Mm-hmm. Right? Have you ever had a girlfriend before?
Not that was older. I've never had a really serious girlfriend, but I see potential in this girl, you know?
Like, I think it could be a good experience to date someone older for a real relationship.
I'd almost say that at the age you are now, I'd be more inclined to say stick to people, you know, closer to your own age group. You know, you're going through the same experiences at the same time. You know, you're kind of like walking into a totally new world.
But don't you think an older figure could actually pass on some valuable experience? Especially in the context of a gay relationship where the sort of knowledge that straights pick up through the mainstream media isn't present.
No, you're right, but I think there's a difference between, you know, 20-year-old dating a 25-year-old and a 17-year-old.
I think if the attraction's there and you want to go through with it, I think you should go through with it wholeheartedly. I wouldn't exactly get totally emotionally attached. I would be kind of reserved as a while, like for a little bit, make sure you're really good friends first and take it from there. Because if you don't have a good friendship, there's nothing to base anything on anyway.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So I believe we were talking about how pathetic you were, DJ.
Yeah, okay, let's get back to that. I've never seen you on campus before.
Well, so, you know, so this is just very confusing. I mean, I've been, you know, trolling the campus for the past 8 years.
And that would be a problem right there.
And, you know, this pink haze that you see hanging over the community. I mean, I know, like, a small handful of gay people, you know, my dear, dear, cherished friends, but it does not at all seem to be like this campus is crawling.
You don't find yourself up at CFA much then, do you?
Yeah, CFA, HNSS, even like CIT and stuff, they're like crawling.
I wouldn't say crawling. I think it's bad to really stereotype everyone. No, I mean, the CFA is a different story. I mean,
yeah, there's gays, they're everywhere. I mean, really.
CFA is the College of Fine Arts for those of you who are not.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
When I came as a sleeping bag, a bagger, to CMU, my host was gay, and that was like a sign from God for me to come here. So that's pretty much why.
I should point out that DJ Panopticon is a graduate student and is involved in a department that is very self-sufficient. Right, and therefore, like, it's easy for students in that department to not have contact with students outside of that department, and thus miss the glorious pink masses of undergrads that pass him every day in his walk.
Then I think it's up to the individual person to go out and get theirs.
It's hard, though. No, it's hard. It's hard, I think.
Get my share of purple.
Right, right.
Pink. You know, and, like, making sure that you're, like, outside on, like, coming out day or whatever, you know, is not a good idea. That's not, like, the best way to do it.
Well, that's interesting. So that's kind of an ironic thing to say. So you don't believe in wearing jeans on Gay Jeans Day or coming...
I wear jeans every day.
Putting your picture in National coming
not
out
today.
Are you a member of CMU Out?
No, I'm not.
Carnegie Mellon's premier homosexual student group?
No, I don't agree.
I have a really hard time agreeing with most Pride organizations. I really wouldn't participate in any.
No.
I have a big problem with them.
Why not?
I guess, you know... I guess a good example is last year, 98, I'm from Boston, and last year I went to Boston Pride. And, you know, like, for a day, the entire city is gay. There's rainbows everywhere. There were tinky winkies, like, crawling out of the woodwork left and right. And we had a big, you know, the big parade down Boylston Street. And most of the floats, most of the groups were you know, all of the different clubs from the city put together little... you know, floats and displays, and they marched down. And they were all big cages with men in leather whipping and beating each other and, you know, shouting in you know, ecstasy.
So it wasn't the Kiwani sort of alliance that you're talking about.
Well, the problem with it is that I had a couple of straight friends who made a really good observation who had just, you know, gone by the parade and seen what happened. And that's really not how I want to be portrayed. Mm-hmm. You know,
But speaking to straight men, if there was a parade with women in cages being whipped, I'd probably go.
Right,
that's
but the difference is that, you know, being gay, people who are gay, there's like kind of a, you know, gayness has an air of like dirtiness to it, I think, too much. Mm-hmm. And I think that things like those parades and those organizations that shove being gay right in people's faces.
Do you think they just reemphasize that aspect of the gay stereotype?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, I don't get dressed up in leather, you know, and whip people on a regular basis, exactly. At least.
I don't when I wake up in the morning, I don't, like, put on my mascara and my big, like, bouffant wig.
Exactly, and, unless it's Wednesday or Thursday, yeah.
But this sort of on-your-face behavior is coming in repressed groups, right?
Right.
The punks and all that stuff.
So I think part of it, too, especially, you know, with things like the parade and things like Gay Pride, is that most of the time, you know, take the parade, for example, 364 days a year, we kind of have to keep it quiet, keep it hidden, you know, because of fear. And then there's that one day where everybody can kind of just explode and be open about it.
But yet they're overreacting.
Right, but it's an overexpression.
And so then the stereotypes are, like, even further.
Right, they're more solidified because we are putting the stereotype across.
Mm-hmm. God, we sound intelligent.
Throw in a couple French words. wonders.
The milieu of the
French. Andy can say menage a trois.
Yeah, I'm good at that one.
So let's get back to DJ Panopticon trolling the campus. So an interesting issue that I've been curious about presents itself. So DJ Panopticon is a graduate student. He's a little bit older. Like, what does that say for the relationship between, let's say, the 19 and 20-year-old undergrads and the graduate students in their mid-20s?
I think if you're an interesting person and you have something to offer someone else, then they'll take you up on that offer.
Okay.
I think a problem, though, is I really believe that being gay does have, like, an expiration date. I mean, and I really feel
best
that way.
Best if consumed,
I mean,
if I look, before.
And I look around, you know, and if you see most of the people in active gay culture are, you know, between 18 and 26 years old. But that's what I find for more. More older people, but I think that.
But that's because you're not old enough to go out on, like, an over 21 night. That's because you're stuck at Pegasus from 18 and over 9.
Perhaps. But anyways, I mean, it's a popular part of the popular stereotype of gays that youth is very important. Right. There is sort of an expiration date.
I think as long as you, like, feel good about yourself, take care of yourself, as long as you're not sitting in some bar, you know, when you're, like, 40 in this one little corner or, like, trolling after some, you know, excuse the term, I didn't mean you. But, you know, as long as you're not going out and doing the whole, like, gay stereotypical sitting in the park, waiting up at, you know, the quote Fruit Loop, doing all that stuff, then
cruising the schoolyard.
Yeah, cruising the schoolyard, whatever, you know. Then there's no expiration date on it.
Really?
Yeah. Once you're fabulous, you're fabulous.
But DJ Panopticon, clearly you're fabulous, correct? I think all of the listeners agree with that.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well,
clearly.
So that's actually one of the keys. So, like, when we first met, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, I've got to have DJ Panopticon because he's so hot? Or are you thinking, Jesus, you know, who is this, like, troll who's, like, bothering me?
He has a face for radio.
No, just fabulous and, like, purple and yellow neon was flashing.
Well, so, I mean, that may be your opinion, but that's because you follow me like, you know, a, sort of a handicapped lapdog. That just, but you know, in terms
I didn't know
of
you were gay when I first saw you.
Oh, I pretty much knew.
So let's turn the little time.
Well, like, until you opened your mouth, I didn't know you were gay.
Pardon me?
Until you, like, opened your mouth to speak, I didn't know you were gay.
But what? DJ Panopticon.
Yeah. Otherwise, that
I'm not
come
gay,
across
so it's
wrong.
Not my reactions that are interesting from this point of view, right?
Well, oh, right. Great. So, okay, I haven't really broken you in yet.
So to speak.
But
takes a lot of wear.
So I'm actually very fascinated about this point because I think a lot of people are frightened by me because they think I'm really mean. And so that's what I have this excellent example. I have this, you know, let's turn back to the time where we first met. Okay. What were you thinking?
Okay, so basically you're wondering, like, why we didn't try to, like, jump you when we first saw you.
Well, that's one of the questions I
asked. Okay. So people see you as mean?
I think...
People see me as mean because I am.
Because Andrew is very mean.
It's like, I really am.
And I'm apparently mean by association.
I think bitter grad student, you know, angry little man.
I don't think you come across as mean.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
You're, like, all smiles and lots of fun.
So why don't you?
Why is everyone laughing?
Well, I mean,
we're laughing at the juxtaposition between DJ Panopticon's nearly bottomless insecurity
and your
word of the day,
and your fresh-faced optimism, I guess.
Oh.
Actually, this is an excellent time for me to point out that we have a new URL. If you're connected to the internet, and God help you if you're not, our internet website is now Sex Talk, and that is spelled sex. -talk sex-talk.org.
Really?
So point your browser.
And there you'll find archives, photos from when John Cam Live came on the show and broadcast us.
The photos aren't quite up, but they're almost up.
Oh, they're almost up. And, well, anyways, soon to be up are photos of us And everything sex talk, basically.
And every show we've ever done. So,
sex-talk.com.
Sex-talk.org. If you go to sextalk.org, you'll get some other freaky loser site. So it's sex-talk.org. And our phone number is 621-9728. And on campus, just the 5 digits, 8WRCT. Now,
clearly, something's funny that hasn't been shared with the rest of the class.
And it won't be shared. So let's live in mystery.
I think we should move on to the next topic.
Oh,
phone call. So, hello, Connor. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. I have a question for Tom and Andrew.
Wonderful. Please, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, some of us want to know, have you ever been with women before?
So there's like a whole group of you like just sitting around.
Well, you know.
Do they sound so sexy that you're sad that they're not batting for your team?
Oh, you know, I don't know. We're just, you know, curious.
If you know me, you better say yes.
Everyone wants to convince, you know, those on the other team to join us, you know, so we're all just curious.
Okay.
I know that's true of DJ Panopticon. He's got flowcharts.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Who is this? Both of us. Both of you.
Right.
This is before or after?
Before. Oh, actually, I've had after experiences, too.
But you don't consider yourself bi.
Not in the least. Oh, God.
I have never experienced oral... Like, I've never given women oral stimulation.
I have.
I haven't.
What, you say that as
I'm
if...
I'm still in therapy
for it, actually.
You say
that as if it were a fate worthy of a political prisoner.
You're in therapy for it.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Is this because you had bad experiences with women?
No.
My interest in women doesn't go beyond her shoes.
Yeah, literally.
I look at a woman, I say, I like the outfit, I don't. It doesn't go beyond that. Good hair, bad hair, like the earrings.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
I get the fashion tips, I don't, you know, get fellatio.
Right, exactly.
I should try that.
Well, no, I think the only reason that I ever had any sexual experiences with women was to, you know, everyone goes through that period, especially when you're younger.
Everyone goes through that
phase. You know, I'm not gay. You know, I can turn myself straight. And I know
you
I went
were in
through
denial.
That. Right, almost definitely. And
almost definitely.
So what was it like when you're with a woman? Were you torn between this immense desire to not be gay and this just repulsion?
No, I just thought about guys when I did it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't learn to do that until later on. I never thought that I could do that. But at first it was just kind of like a coach sitting beside you saying, come on, you can do it.
What you're supposed to do.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But then I realized you just get to the point where you say it's not worth it.
Yeah. So
I'm not having any fun.
How did you date with this woman? Like, what base? Were you actually having
genital intercourse?
I hit a home run.
Yeah.
The standard thing to ask was, like, did you, like, flip the woman over and have anal sex with her and sort of pretend that she was on the
No, I don't think I'd ever inflict that on a woman.
Yeah,
No, I never.
No.
I never had anal intercourse with a woman.
I don't see the reason sexually for breasts.
Right.
I don't understand.
Well, that's very interesting, because, like, a lot of men are focused on breasts as the primary sort
and
of
I don't, Andrew and I just don't understand that.
Yeah, like, literally. What are you supposed to do with them? I don't understand.
Right.
Neither do we, actually.
Okay.
It's a whole motherly thing. I don't know.
Right.
So, we don't have any hope, I guess, as yet.
Well...
How much money do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Do you have any cute brothers?
Yeah.
I have a really gorgeous brother, actually.
How old?
Well, he's too young.
Well, how old's too young?
No, he's in high school.
Well, how's that?
He's 16.
Whatever.
Fully functional.
So you got a driver's license?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to know his name?
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. Marcello.
Marcello.
He's an Italian
Oh, I've never dated a Marcello.
Wait, hold on, let me think.
Do you have your book with you?
Hold on, no. And then I'll roll the next, it'll take a while.
Okay, I can't believe this. I'm, like, setting my brother up, but that's okay.
Is your brother gay?
No, he's not.
Oh, then I'm sure he'd be definitely extremely offended.
Does he want to be gay?
No, he's young, I don't know.
Do you live here at CMU?
Oh, yeah.
Is he gonna come visit?
Yeah, he might, actually.
Really? Hey, listen.
You're too old.
Do you even know how old I am?
Andrew is 22.
Oh, okay, yeah, you know how old I am.
Tom, how old are you?
Tom looks 25.
I'm 20.
You're 20?
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
If you want to mail in a little internet image of Marcello to our website, just visit the site.
I can't do that to my brother. I'm sorry.
Okay. You're a good sister.
Yeah.
Very, very protective. You can't protect him forever.
Good night, guys.
Night.
Good night.
So, seems like each of you is dying to tell one embarrassing story about the other.
About the other?
Yeah. About the other?
I think,
about us.
Right, exactly.
Actually, that would work just as well. It seems
okay,
like.
Okay, let me tell you how I met Tom. It's a cute one.
Oh, it's very cute.
Okay.
I think maybe I should tell the story, because I won't embarrass myself as much as Andrew will embarrass me.
No, I'll keep it very simple.
Okay.
No, feel free to embarrass.
No. Okay. So, one day, well, the first day of summer school, I was walking along campus, and this cute boy walked past me, and of course, he, like, had total, like, Banana Republic, was looking all, like, spiced up for, like, the first day of school, you know, as we normally do. And as soon as he walked past me, he started to, like, sashay. So I'm like, oh, God, he's queer. But he was really cute, so I followed him. And I'm walking, and I'm walking, and I'm walking.
Sashay, that's a French word, too.
Oh, is it
See,
really?
He is bilingual.
Really? Yeah. And,
But then I turned and went to my office, and then you met Tom.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Exactly.
So I was hoping Tom was in one of my classes, and he kept walking, and we were going, like, the same building and everything, and I was all excited. And then he turned the other way. So I was all depressed.
Well, and then, see, I remember the same exact experience.
Yeah. Did he sashay as well?
Well, I was in front of Andrew, yes, he, but he was singing Madonna, so that was enough of a hint.
That's like right one of those, like,
he was voguing, yeah. So I pretty much figured
it
out.
I was
justifying my love right there. Right.
And now, I had taken the semester before this summer off. I wasn't here that semester, so I came back to take some classes this summer, and I didn't, campus is pretty deserted, there weren't many familiar faces around, and I happened to, you know, spy a gay man, and, you know, in the audience.
Hot
and,
gay man.
Right.
Hot gay man.
And so, you know, I was kind of interested, and Andrew likes to use the word stalk. I, however, choose to use the word
no.
Pleasantly follow Andrew around no. For a little while. You know, I just saw this, you know, he looked like this cute little wholesome, you know, gay boy. I couldn't have been any more wrong. You know, but you know, Andrew and I met. And
no, wait, no. That
I,
is...
Okay, I walked up to Andrew.
No,
and...
that is so fast. Calm down. So, for the next couple days, I see him every now and then. He would, like, sit, like, the day that we met, he sat in Cure Commons waiting for me for, it seemed like, hours. He would sit there and read his book.
I was reading. And I had a lot of homework that night.
You didn't turn a page. And so, I was working, and so I was always in there, and of course I thought it was cute, so I sat there and sat there and sat there. And I would sat there, and I pretended like I was, like, napping or whatever, you know, and finally he comes up to me, and the biggest lie he could possibly think of, and say, gosh, I really don't know what there is to do around here. What is there to do for fun in Pittsburgh? Good.
No, I think that was a pretty good. I think that was pretty good. I don't see anything wrong with that.
DJ Panopticon, let you be the impartial jury. How's that?
I think that's perfect. You always have to have some kind of hook.
And right. Let us not forget how difficult it really is to break.
Right. That was the most. I never approach anybody, so that was a big deal for me.
It's either that or, you know, I'm having respiratory trouble.
Right.
Please give me Mastodon.
Right. Exactly. So I did.
Yeah. And the first thing I said was, you know, Pegasus is great because I wanted to, you know.
Right, you kind of established, you silently say, yep, I'm gay too.
And then we...
So you, like, you had no fear of just dropping the whole gay card right away?
Well, I think it's pretty evident.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're hiding much of anything.
And then by the end of the day, he ended up in my apartment.
Right, watching...
Is that some sort of code for something?
No, I meant it literally.
Yes, exactly.
In my apartment?
No, it's a physical... not the apartment, per se, but...
He's parking his car in your garage.
Oh, God.
No, we never, Andrew and I haven't parked.
No.
Have you snogged or mashed or spooned?
I think we've snogged, mashed, and spooned.
Well, drunk, I take it.
No, sober as well.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah.
So how come it hasn't gone any further? Clearly, there is a sizzling sexual tension that radiates over this whole room right now.
That's just me.
Andrew leaves and that's gone.
Yeah.
It's a monastery. Yeah. No, I think that, I don't know, I think Andrew and I kind of works really well as friends. We just got along too well to get, you know, messed up in a big web of lies.
It's funny because we had John from John Cam Live here, who I don't know how to describe who he is. Right, he's
a fabulous internet celebrity. He has a camera on him 24 hours a day.
Oh, people
He said that in his gay community, like, gay people, like, said hi and became friends by sleeping with each other.
So what's the bottom line is, have you had any form of sexual contact with each other? Has either of you been responsible for the orgasm of the other?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And far be it from us, if we go out and, you know, we don't you know.
Score.
To anyone that we know. Not score, not score. We're not cheap like that. But if we have a little bit too much to drink, we'll, you know, look at each other in a different light, you know.
Right, and then we realize...
You make each other sound like safety schools, almost.
So they're kind of fallback position.
Yeah.
Well, not really that. I guess...
We're not settling for each other. We're comfortable with each other.
Right. And, you know, it's not like we... You know, Andrew and I haven't been together in that way in a while.
Yeah.
So I take it your luck's been good.
Well, like, good is such a relative term.
Literally. Oh. We'll say that the fates have been with us both.
Right.
Not that we slept with the fates, but, you know, they've been good to us.
So, like, I mean, not, since you're such good friends and since you're so sexually comfortable with each other, are you interested in sexual adventures of various kinky kinds? Like, would you, you know, have a five-way with the crew of Loveline, for example? The sex talk this
really, that's not blunt, you know?
Trolling, I think.
Right.
There's a chicken hawk circling above.
I don't think that I'd necessarily... I don't think that, you know... I don't know. Well, I'm not considering that question. Don't get me wrong.
So you're rejecting it out of
hand. Not that I'm disgusted by it, but, you know.
No, Andrew's being mean.
Yeah.
Andrew's being mean.
If I had hair, I'd flip it, but I don't, right. So.
So, but okay, let's leave that particular example aside because of obvious complications it introduces, but...
So, what are you asking?
Are you saying, would we be adventurous together?
No, well... Sort of, right? There's this whole spectrum of sexual behavior that goes from sort of like two star-crossed lovers kissing in a wheat field, right? All the way to, you know, people having their tongues split in two for better, you know.
We would never do that.
Right, no, thank you.
No, we're just asking, like, how far do you want to go? I mean, you're young, you're exploring, right? How far do you want to go on? I mean, conversation in this show often, almost always degenerates into sexual deviancy.
You mean, is there anything we haven't tried that we want to try?
Sure.
With each other or separately?
Or handle the question however you like.
Yes,
okay. All right.
Seconds. Tom and I are very good friends. We feed off each other well. If we could, like, I just got my new roommate. He's like ROTC nightmare. So I'm trying to get rid of him and like move Tom in. We're just really close like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's things that I haven't tried that I want to.
I've tried everything. I think that I've been as adventurous as I'd like to be. I mean, there's nothing wrong with repeating things, but I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about in general.
No, that's what I meant.
Right. In general, I've done everything that I really feel the need to do, and I guess from now on it's just going to be a repetition of that.
Well, that's almost a sad statement to make as a 20-year-old.
No, I'm pretty happy. I have no problem.
No, he's just
that.
A big old slut.
I've just done a lot in my time.
Please, there's always new and better things.
There are always new and better things. I'm afraid I have to cut us all off at that point because it is midnight. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for the fabulous phone calls. Please tune in again next week, Tuesday at 11, for yet another episode. And please check our website, sex-talk.org. Thank you for listening, and good night.